I feel like there's a lot of like mystery around the financial part of it and how to get that started.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think there is that mystery?
It seems like there's the brokers out there get a lot of commission off of doing that part for you. If you don't have information that's come to you readily, it feels complex and you have to figure that out.
If we're going to go down the pedo Medicaid road, that takes, are we excited about that, right? Are we excited about serving those kinds of patients? But then that attracts a certain kinds of dentist too, right?
That's exactly right. So if I meet with somebody and they're like, well, I don't really care, then I'm like, okay, that doesn't work for me, because you will care when you have to eat the dog food on that relationship.
Welcome back to another episode of Dental Marketing Go. I'm your host, Gary Bird. I'm the founder of SMC National, where we help you create, convert, and close more new patients so you can grow the way that you want. And every once in a while, I get to have a conversation that really just breaks down things in a way that most people don't understand in the dental industry. And today I have Jody Evans, and she's online everywhere. I'm sure you've seen her before. You've heard of her. If not, go check her out. But she's going to break down what she's been working on, and it's going to blow your mind. She's actually putting her money where her mouth is and doing something that most people would not do. And she's also documenting it and telling the whole story, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I think you're going to love it. Stay tuned. All right, we are live, and this is going to be the most unique dental podcast that you've ever heard in your life. I promise you, the two things that we're going to talk about combined make why Jody is so special. And if you haven't seen her online, follow her online. She has a lot of this content out there. But number one, Jody has recently decided to move out of the United States to one of my favorite countries. If you've never been there before, it's beautiful. It's like a little cut of paradise. And just, it's awesome. It's Costa Rica, which actually, when I went there on vacation, my wife and I walked around downtown San Jose in the middle of the night, and it felt safer than where I live in LA County. And so, so that was cool. And then number two, though, and this is where it makes it really interesting, Jody's also starting a DSO, which she's worked in the DSO world for a long time, but now she's starting her own DSO. But this is what makes it so unique. She's documenting the whole process, which I know Jody. So Jody's going to tell the good stuff, but she's also going to share the hard and the bad stuff, where they fail and why it's so hard. And I think that's going to bring massive amounts of just opportunities for people to learn in a real way. And so Jody, thank you. So I just reached out to Jody. I said, Jody, can we just talk? And she said, absolutely. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here and to just share my little journey. It's so new. But sometimes I think the beginning is the hardest part. So, or I don't know, maybe it's just one of the hard parts, but it's new to me. So I'm excited to share what's new to me.
Yeah. Starting a business is hard. That's the hardest part. And I know you've had a lot of experience with that, because then it's the unknown, right? It's all the unknown stuff that's scary. So walk me through just like the decision to start a DSO and then the decision to document it.
So I heard the first question, the decision to start the a DSO and why I did it. It actually, so I moved to Costa Rica and I was watching this show on Netflix called The World's Toughest Race. I think it's on Netflix. And it is literally the world's toughest race. People like nearly die on it, and they go through, it was across Fiji. It was super intense. And I was watching these athletes and they have all this other experience, but they're like, this is something we haven't experienced before. And the number one team who won, and they all gave great lessons. The team who won at the end, they said, what do you think made it possible for you to achieve this goal? And they said, experience. And it hit me really hard. I was like, you know, we do consulting as well, and we're helping people, but we've all, my team and I have all had experience doing what they're doing. And so some of these, you know, things that people go through are easier for us because we've already made those decisions in the past multiple times. And so I thought, why aren't I starting a DSO? And I can go to a place where none of my clients are, so I'm not competing with them, and I could start that journey. And so that was it. I reached out to my dental partner and said, what do you think? And he was like, I think it's awesome. Let's do it. And so we started.
Hey, happy new year. And thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I got something really, really important to share with you that's going to bring massive impact to your practice. So every year, things change in your market every single year. People move, incomes change, populations change, and it's really important that you stay up to date with that. And one of the things that we offer to all of our customers, and we want to offer it to all of our listeners completely for free, is mapping out your new patients. So we're not going to only show you where your new patients are coming from on a map, just like this above, but we're also going to show you the income areas that they're coming from, the different pockets of income, as well as the populations, to make sure that you have supporting areas to where you can attract more new patients. And lastly, we're going to map out all of your competition for you for free. This is 100% for free, no obligation. And we're really excited to share this with all of our listeners. So all you have to do is go to maps.smcnational.com, and it's first come, first serve. We're not going to offer this forever. So if you want to get this, get in now, get all your new patients mapped out for the new year. We're looking forward to talking to you soon. Thanks.
So where, first of all, you said you picked a market that none of your clients are in. So what could, are you allowed to talk about where it's at, or what, sure, at least what state you're looking at?
Yeah, so there's a couple, but Arizona is one of them. And that's where my clinical partner is. I think it's really important when you start that you have a clinician that likes to work in the practices. I know we yeah. talk a lot about getting out of the chair, but in my consulting, what I've seen is the people that have partners who like to work in the chair tend to perform better. And then we have one in Utah with a clinical partner who's interested. And then we have one in Chicago, which is one of our clients.
Awesome. Okay. And then what, so far, just in your documentation of everything, what have been some of the findings? What is some of the learnings that you've been, that have kind of stood out to you in this process so far?
I think that I am either in the wrong rooms and asking the wrong people, or this is the culture, but I feel like there's a lot of like mystery around the financial part of it, and how to get that started. And that's why when we started the podcast, Trevor and Jody started DSO, we went with, how do we tell people how to do this? Because it hasn't been easy for us to figure it out, and then how to structure the deal. And I think some of that's because it really depends on the other partner and what they want. But that's been interesting. There's not a lot of people that will tell you how to do it from a consultant. There's a lot of brokers. But there's not yeah. somebody out there that will really just tell you how to do it. So we've leaned on Jonathan Moffitt. He's been great helping us set that up. So we're looking at more and more
resources.
Why
do you think that is? Why do you think there is that mystery? Why, it's not like dental is brand new or something. Why is there so much mystery around that? Is it because a lot of dentists are owner operators, and so they take a lot of money from the business initially? So then that's why it's foggy, or is there something else there that I'm missing?
I don't know. But I'll say, like, it seems like there's the brokers out there get a lot of commission off of doing that part for you. And so it's tough to get visibility. And I don't mean to sound like, you know, they're not evil, but there's a whole business around it. And as I kind of undo it, I'm like, this isn't super complex. But if you don't have information that's come to you readily, it feels complex and you have to figure that out. And I'm willing to even go through a broker, but I think there's just, it's been interesting because we said, hey, we want to do this, and we already have 6 people in our funnel that want to partner with us. So I don't necessarily need more opportunities. We actually need to figure out how do we capture the opportunities that are in front of us and do that in a way that creates a win-win.
Where do you think the biggest opportunities are? Where do those lie? Like if someone's listening to this and they're like, man, I really want to start a practice, or I'm working at a DSO right now and I just really want to do this, where is that opportunity lie? Like what's the thing that you're seeing that you go, man, this is huge?
Well, for our criteria, what we're seeing is that you have to find a clinician who loves, in my opinion, you have to find a clinician who loves the clinic and has enough room to grow. A lot of people are so conservative on the facility side, rightfully so, but they're so conservative on the facility side and they're conservative on their initial investment that they have no room to grow if it actually is going to be successful. So we've come up with a matrix that says, here's what needs to be in place, and we're finding them, but there's less of those. So if you're going, my suggestion would be, if you're going to start out, plan on it being successful. And make room for that expansion, that ability to not have to be the only one in the chair. Do you have room for an associate? Do you have room for growth? So that's that.
So do you mean just buying a like renting a building or buying a building, renting a building that has the ability to add more operatories or offices and things like that? If you succeed, is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. So that part, like getting set up, there's massive opportunities. From a consulting perspective, what I've seen is offices are maxed out, and then they have a ton of little offices that are maxed out. And I think that ends up putting them in this corner. So anyways, for us, that's been really important to find offices that have a lot of room for growth and find partners who want that growth. I don't want to find a partner who's burned out. I don't want to find a partner who wants us to just take over. I want to create a healthier relationship with those partners that, as much as I want management to come in and take things off their plate, for sure we can do that. But I don't want to at all give off the impression that, well, if we come in, you'll have no problems. We'll just take care of everything and you just be the dentist. I think that's a trap that a lot of partnerships start off of. And then they get in it and realize that if you own a business together, you own a business together. There is hardship in that. There's tough things and we got to be prepared for that. That's another place. If I find people coming in and saying, well, you know, they told me they're going to do everything and all I have to do is this, I'm like, it's not true, but go for it.
Yeah, if it's too good, it's the old adage, like if it's too good to be true, then it's probably too good to be true. Can you walk me through how you decided like what level of or what lane of clinical services that you guys were going to provide? So did you guys go down the GP road, pedo? I know you have experience with pedo. How did you choose which lane to go down and what lane did you choose to go down?
So the first one is my clinical partner, Dr. Lines. I asked him, what are you passionate about mentoring and teaching to other docs? And so that determined it, honestly, that piece. And I think we actually met with a few other clinical partners and what they were excited about, we couldn't get alignment with. And so that really matters. We have a list of all these clinical procedures. And I recommend if you're going to partner with somebody that you go through that list and say, which ones are we going to keep? What patients are we going to refer out? Because that impacts your operations, your marketing, the structure.
Everything.
And then what are you going to do with the specialties? Are we going to have super GPs or are we going to bring in other specialists? And so that was the conversation we had to have up front. And then we had to have a conversation about that avatar. And were we passionate about serving that avatar? That took some back and forth to get to an avatar that all of us were excited about. Because I don't know. I think the money can come either way. But the passion and the motivation to serve that client, that patient, we all had to be excited about. And then we asked, are we excited about the clinical customer? And then are we excited about the team?
Oh, the kind of dentist that serves those kind of patients. Are you excited for that?
Yes, because they become your customer with growth. Yeah. And Dr. Lines really need to be passionate about a specific type of dentist that he was going to take in and mentor. Because if I had a clinical partner that wasn't excited about developing clinicians, that is such a tough road. It's a tough road. And I don't want to take that road with somebody. So I wanted it to be.
So as an example, I'm just going to put this in like layman's terms that I understand. And you can tell me if I'm way off. So it's like, if we're going to go down the pedo Medicaid road, are we excited about that? Right. Are we excited about serving those kinds of patients? But then that attracts a certain kinds of dentists too, right? Like that's a different kind of dentist than you would say if it's a full arch office. And are you excited about working with those kinds of people and those kinds of skill sets and those kinds of egos or lack of egos and all those things that go into it, right? Those are totally like the two opposite ends of the spectrum. Is that what you're,
That's
how
exactly
you guys kind of
right.
thought through it?
Yes. Yes. Like, so if I meet with somebody and they're like, well, I don't really care. Then I'm like, okay, that doesn't work for me, because you will care when you have to eat the dog food on that relationship and you are having to hang out with them all the time and support them and build materials and mentor them and
or attract
this time
them
with your family.
Or attract them to your business.
Attract them. That's right.
Yeah.
So we had to get really clear on the avatars or the you know, the personas that we set up. It's okay, what about our patients? What type of clinician is that? Are we excited about that? If not, you know, who, not, how? And so we were we went back and forth for a while. We went through quite a few relationships before we even started the podcast of getting clarity on that. And then we started the podcast because our relationships became better when we became more clear.
Yeah, that's so good. And what are your thoughts? So I have people who come to me, which I'm a marketing guy. I've never even worked in a dental office or a DSO like directly, like, right? Like, so, and I have dentists come to me and like, what do you think I should focus on clinically? Like, what do you think I should attract? And I'm like, dude, I'm the wrong person to ask. Like, I'm thinking about like cost of an acquisition, not how hard the work is. Is your team trained around it? All the operational stuff around that. Do you find that sometimes clinicians punt that conversation when they shouldn't, and they should be the ones owning that conversation and saying, this is what I'm super passionate about? Do you see that? Or how do you kind of, in your experience in working with dentists, how do you kind of see that?
That's a great call out. When we initially work with, you know, different team members and things, when you ask a clinician, who do you see? Some of them, a little bit less experience and have still been able to grow actually a lot of practices, but they'll say, we see everybody. And that's that moment where we go, okay, but who do you love to see? What does that look like? And if you can get them to tell the story about the patient that they love to see, I think that drives so much better alignment. It's interesting because I think people are seeing a specific type of patient really well intuitively. So it's just bringing that intuition to the front. So they know the answer, but they don't know how to ask the questions to get to that right answer. But if you watch what they do and not what they say, you would probably see in their model, there's a very specific patient type that they cater to really well. And then there's others that they see and they refer out, or they roll their eyes, or they punt to somebody, an associate to see.
You
kind of go, okay, that's the patient you're maybe less excited about. So let's get aligned.
Yes, that's such a good way to say it. So just helping them work through that. And if you're somebody that's listening to this and you're a dentist, getting clear on that helps you help other people, helps you, if that makes sense, right? Like the more clear you can get with your operators and your team and your external coaches and vendors and those kind of things of what you're trying to do, the more clear that everybody can, the more clarity it provides them to be able to help you. And it becomes clear who can help you too. Because if you're serving everybody, then you're serving nobody. And that makes it really tricky for everybody involved.
It confuses the team. It makes them feel like they're failing. It also confuses your recruiting. So you have to sound like everybody else. And then that gets you a different type, level of support, level of clinician as well, level of practice leader. But if you say, you know, if you can create a patient story and then attract people and tell that story, then I think at the end of the day, you get better people because you're actually leading better at that point. So we had to work on that because people die of indigestion in dentistry, not starvation typically. And so they have too many opportunities. They chase too many opportunities because all of them, from a financial standpoint, most opportunities turn out favorable.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great advice.
But if you chase all of them, it kills you.
So what is your last question? Then I'm going to ask you for where people can like find this content and like interact with you, Jody, and really follow this. What right now with the current stage that you're at, what are you most excited about? What's the thing that you're like, this, I wake up in the morning and I'm just like, I get out of bed and it's the first thing that I think of. What is that part of the business right now?
From the DSO perspective, what am I most excited about? The customers that we're serving. So the first customer that we're serving is the clinicians that we're partnering with. And I get so excited to figure out, where are you at? I mean, we just had a meeting, you know, this morning at 8:30. And I was so excited about that meeting and that clinician's spilling out their guts about, you know, here's where I feel momentum. Here's where I feel a ton of stress. And we're working through that. So I love, now that we got clear on the customer and who we serve, I love that customer. So it excites me to be able to reduce stress for them and create alignment. I love those conversations.
That's cool. And then how can people interact with this content? Like, what's the best way to connect with you, connect with your business, or connect with your content?
Yes. So we put a lot out on LinkedIn and on our podcast. We try to share as much as we possibly can. So you can reach out there and see a lot of the free content, and then LinkedIn, maybe message, or you could email me at Jody@RevTribes, and we can talk more about this journey. And also, if you're on the journey and want help getting organized on, you know, how do I organize this for growth and expansion? We'd love to talk. Internally for our clients, we have an amazing online portal that gives everybody access to all of our tools and materials. And then also, of course, we'll walk you through it. So that's our model.
So awesome. Awesome, Jody. Well, congratulations and amazing job on always leveling up and always doing cool things, because it's just really exciting to watch. And thank you for talking through this with me today. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Gary. It's always an honor to be here. Appreciate you.
All right. Bye.